Yeah, man. The first miracle. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? It's just been such a wonderful morning in His presence. And there's something that God's put in my heart, and I want to share with you. It's what I've titled the sermon this morning is the Josiah Generation, which is something I believe that our nations really need. When I say our nations, I say it because I'm American, but I'm also British. And I love both nations deeply. But I believe our two nations are really under, in a sense, under God's judgment. The church is the redeeming factor in the nations. And God will always speak to the church and do something in the church, which I believe is what God is wanting to do in our churches. But in our lives personally, there's something that God wants. And the thing that inspired me about Josiah was that he was a very young king. He was only 8 years old when he became king. And it says, he was a man who was after God. And he got an early start. 8 years is an early start, isn't it? And, after he had been king for 18 years, he began to be active in setting his nation free and releasing them from the bondages of the past. But, the thing that it says is that he was like his father David, who followed God, And it's so powerful. It's so powerful because Josiah was, he's this young, righteous king, and all he wants to do is serve God. And he sends the money that's been gathered in the temple, and he says, okay, we're going to rebuild the temple. We're going to raise it back up. We're going to restore it. But he takes down the high places. And I want to just look for a moment at what high places are. And if you go to 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 26 through 33. I'm not going to read it because I have a hard time focusing on my Bible when I'm here. But I have written down some definitions of the things that I saw in those scriptures of what high places are. And a high place is anything that's in the place of God. Anything that we put or substitute in the place of God is a high place. And God wants us to remove high places. He wants us to take down high places. He doesn't want there to be anything between us and Him that interferes with our fellowship and relationship with Him. And so anything that's between us and God is a high place. Another high place is not coming to God His way. Doing it our own way. A little bit like Burger King, you can have it your way. The kingdom of God is not like that. God has standards. God has ways that we approach Him. And we need to honor the ways that God speaks to us about approaching Him. And so, the thing that Jeroboam in this chapter did was that he substituted the worship that was to be in Jerusalem for the feast and so forth. And so he set up something in Bethel and another one of the cities in Israel. He set up places of worship so that the people wouldn't go to Jerusalem because he was afraid he would lose them to the southern kingdom. And so he was acting out of fear. He was acting out of wanting to hold on to something that God had not given him. He wanted to hold on to the people, to control the people. That's another high place that sometimes we have to deal with in our lives, holding on to things that God has not given us. And we have to let go of things that God has not placed in our hands and put it back in His hands. Hello, is everybody awake? Amen. Sometimes what we do, and I've seen it, I've done it myself, you know, we try to hold on to someone for salvation. You ever done that? You know? And the best thing you can do is release them. Give them to God. Because He will deal with them. We don't have to hold on. That's God's responsibility. Amen? Another high place is doing things our own way. You know, coming to God and doing things our way. In other words, being presumptuous with God is a high place that has to be removed. You can't be presumptuous with God. You know, we always need to come before God and say, God, is this what you want? Is this the way you want us to go? And that's one of the things I really appreciate. You know, when we were out in Bulgaria, you know, there was nothing going on where we said, oh, we got to do something to make it happen. Now, I really appreciate that. Because God makes it happen. If it's God, He makes it happen. Everything that God does for us comes out of our relationship with Him. And that's where we need to be. In the place where we're at rest, at peace, and know that we're living in Christ, and that what God does, we honor what He does. So we live in a relationship with Him whereby He communicates with us on a regular basis. Amen? Good. Now, one of the first things that Josiah did was he brought about a restoration. The temple was broken down. It was, you know, they'd been damaged. And so he took the money that was already in the temple and he gave it to the workers and he said, here, you know, fix it. And then he said, don't hold them to account. They're trustworthy. Let them get on with the job. Let them do what they're called to do. Hallelujah. And so he gave it to them. And they restored the temple and they built it back up. When they were in the process of repairing the temple, they came upon the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. And so there was one of the men, Shaman, who read. If you want to follow this in Scripture, I'll give it to you. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 2, or chapter 22, and verses 3 through 20. But I called it Discovering Brokenness, because what happens was when he discovered the Torah, it was read out to him. And when it was read out to him, he tore his clothes. And he said, oh, my God, we have departed from God's ways. He was a broken man. He was torn in his heart because he realized that the nation had pulled away from serving God, from walking with God. And he repented. And he went before God. And he went before the elders and brought the elders together and said, okay, you know, we're going to make a new covenant with God. We're going to make covenant with Him today that we're going to serve Him with all of our hearts. And you know something? That's what He did. He called the leaders together and He said, listen, we've sinned. We've fallen away from what God has. We've fallen away from what God intended for us to be. We've walked in ways that were not God's ways. We've walked in ways that were our own ways. See, I can say something as a pastor, as a man who was a pastor for 26 years. It's so easy to walk in your own ways and just do the stuff. You know, Sunday after Sunday, you walk in a routine. You get a routine. You do this, you do this, you do this. And where is God in it? Where is God in it? You've got to ask yourself that. Where is God in what we're doing? And where is God in what we've done? I can say it to myself. I can say it to you from experience that it's easy to walk away and fall away from God's will and to fall away from God's purposes because you get so much in the routine of just doing it that you just do it. And there's no relationship. You lose the relationship. And God doesn't want that for His people. You see, we were born into a relationship. And the relationship isn't with a building. The relationship is with a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you fall into the routine, it's easy just to go on and do whatever you feel like doing. Because in a real sense, you kind of harden your conscience. You become calloused. You become indifferent. But God wants to break into all of that. And thank God, He doesn't give up on us. Amen? Amen. Are you excited about that? Yeah? I'm glad God didn't give up on me. You know? I was served as a pastor for, like I said, 26 years. One church, one place. And it's like, in all of that, God finally broke through. God finally broke through. I hate church politics. Leave it to the politicians. They're the best liars there are. Sorry. And they can do it with a straight face. Hallelujah. But you know, God wants to break into our lives. God wants to come in. When we get into a place with God where we're indifferent, we're in a serious place because God wants to get through to us. He loves us so much that He doesn't want to leave us in the place where we're at. But you know something, God is really a gentleman because He won't force Himself on us. What He does is He reveals to us where we're really at, and that should bring brokenness. That should bring repentance. That should bring an understanding of, you know what, God, there's so much more, and I haven't even touched it yet. I want more of You. And this king, Josiah, was an awesome king. So when he discovered what had happened, you know, he wasn't just going to leave it. He went out and he destroyed all of the high places in Judah. But he wasn't satisfied just doing it in Judah. He went to Israel, the northern kingdom, and he tore down all the high places, got rid of the high places, got rid of the places where people were distracted from God and said, no, we're going to focus on one thing and we're going to focus on God. We're going to do what God has said. We're going to follow His Spirit. We're going to follow His statutes. We're going to follow His commands. And we're going to walk in His ways. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to speak to you and say to you, are there any high places in your life? Places that you've allowed in your life that in some ways it interferes with your relationship with God? I remember when I first came to this country, I was totally overwhelmed with the football thing. I thought, my goodness, you know? It's like these people worship every Sunday. They go to the football stadiums, you know, and they scream their heads off. And you think, what for? For some guy who's kicking a ball around and eventually gets it through two little posts and into a net, you know? Wow. What is that? I was not here too long, and when I saw the thing that happened at Hillsborough, and I was praying about it. I said, God, what does that mean? He says, they've been sacrificed to the pagan idol of football. Think about that. 95 people died. Why? Football. No other reason. No other reason. Was it a pagan idol? Yeah. It's a pagan idol. You say, is it wrong to watch football? Not necessarily. But it's wrong if it becomes a substitute for God. It's wrong if it takes the place of God in your life. It can be anything that comes between us. It could be a relationship with a person, with another person that comes between you and God. Don't let that happen. You know? Don't let that happen. If you're in the ministry, it can become the ministry that you're worshiping instead of God who gave it to you. It can become a form of worship that you think, oh, it's got to be like this. And, you know, God says, no, it doesn't have to be like that. It can be different. You know? We have to guard so carefully our relationship with Him. And anything that interferes with it is a high place and needs to be removed. What I discovered about high places is mostly here, in our minds. In our minds. We get things in our minds and they interfere with our relationship with God. How many of you have ever sat down and you said, oh, you know what, I'm going to spend a load of time in prayer today seeking God. Amen. Yep. And the first thing that happens is the phone rings. Got an emergency. Oh, no. You know, distractions never cease. They will always be distractions. You know? And it's easy to get distracted. Distractions can even be some particular thing that, you know, you like. You know? But don't be distracted. Set your hearts to follow God. Set your hearts to get rid of any high places, anything that's keeping you from God's best. You know? You say, how do I do that? Well, it's making a choice is really what it is. And the choice that you're making is you're saying, God, I'm putting you before everything else. I'm putting you before everything else. But you know when you do that, it's going to be tested. Don't you? Every time we make a commitment to God, there's always a test that follows to see just how serious we are. And the seriousness of where we're at will really determine the outcome of our walk with God. If we're totally sold out to Him. You see, I believe God wants to bring a great revival in this nation. And I believe there's one coming. You know? But I also believe that God looks for His people to really plug in to Him, to really come close to His heart, to really touch His heart. You see, that responsibility is on us. The grace of God is given to us, and God gives us the grace to do it. How many of you know you need grace to do that? Huh? You definitely need God's grace to do that. Because you need grace to sacrifice things. Yeah? You need grace to let go. and put your trust in God. You need grace. And you need grace to walk in that. And God wants to pour out his Spirit in a powerful way on this nation. And I look at the life of Josiah and I think, you know, this young man brought repentance to his nation. The first thing he did was restore covenant. The second thing he did is he took down the high places. The third thing he did was he called them to celebrate. And there was celebration and restoration. You see, when you look at 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 21 and 23, it talks about the Passover was restored. And the Passover was a special celebration because the Passover was recognizing what God did in Egypt to set his people free. And it's also looking forward to the Passover lamb that would come in the days ahead. Josiah, the Bible says, that before him, there was none like him, and after him, there was none like him. In other words, God's saying, this guy had everything. This guy had my heart. He was following me with all of his heart. So I want to ask you this morning, does God have your whole heart? Or are you reserving parts for yourself? Are there areas of your life you haven't opened up to God? Are there places you haven't allowed God to come into? You say, what do you mean by that? Maybe places of hurt. Maybe places that, you know, are your own little, you know, private thing. You know, this is just, Andrew, had you had a perfect example of that, you know, of the book that you had, you know, and it's so easy, isn't it? To allow ourselves to have something that's just ours and doesn't belong to God. You say, does God have everything? Well, I ask you that question. Does he? Does he? You know the answer. Does God have everything? Does everything you have belong to him? Have you given him everything? You see, because he's worthy of everything. And the good thing is he doesn't demand it. He waits till you're ready to give it. But I ask you, is your heart in a place where you're ready to give it? Is your heart in a place where you're ready to say, God, I don't want anything between you and me. I want just to have a relationship with you. I want a relationship with you that will make a difference, that when I'm walking down the street, people can see there's something different in that person because they're walking close to God. Walking close to God. So I ask you this morning, you know, where is your heart with God? Where is your life? Is there anything that you're reserving for yourself that perhaps God is saying, will you let go? Are you willing to let go? But as I've already said, he won't force you. He'll just ask you the question until you're ready. He'll ask you the question until you're ready. Say, how do you know that? Because I've experienced it. I've experienced it. Where God says, are you willing to let go? And you say, I'm not sure, Lord. You know, there's a certain amount of safety and security that we feel that we can have control over something, you know, that God says, you know what? Give me control of your whole life. And I'm not talking about unreasonable things. Listen, I'm talking about being reasonable with God. You know what your relationship with him is. And you know if God's speaking to you this morning about anything in your life that you're holding on to that you need to let go of. And I want to say to you, whether you let go of it or not, God loves you the same. He loves you the same. It doesn't change how he feels about you. And he's not disillusioned with you because he has no illusions to begin with, you know. He knows what we're like. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we are human. But you know this morning, if God's speaking to your heart about laying anything down or giving anything up for him, to follow him. And I want to say to you, whatever you give up, whatever you lay down, God has the ability to restore it to you in a better way than you let go of it. He really does. And he wants to bless you. He wants to pour out upon you all of his blessings. But some of you this morning here, he's asking you that question. You know, are you ready to let go of that? Are you ready to let go of that? I can remember a few years ago, God said to me, are you willing to give up everything? And I said, yes. I believe I'm in a place where I'm ready to give up. And he said, are you ready to give up the ministry? Okay. You know? And I did. I said, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. Father, you can use me when you're ready. And you can use me when I'm ready. So it's so powerful that we let go in order to allow God to do what he wants to do. I want to just encourage you this morning to take a look and ask yourself that question. And wouldn't it be lovely to hear those words? Before him, there was no one like him. And after him, there was not one like him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that God was so pleased with you that he would say something like that? That's so powerful. Yeah. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. And each one of you here, you know where you're at before God. And I'm just going to ask you, would you want to make a commitment to the Lord this morning? It says, Lord, you know, I recognize that there are things that I've held on to that I shouldn't have held on to, that you've been speaking to me about. And you want to just say this morning, Lord, help me. Help me to do the thing that you're asking me to do. Because you know he's ready and willing to help you in those decisions and choices that are difficult. So I'm just going to ask you now, if you sense God saying those things to you, speaking to you about something, and you would like for us to pray with you, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask you to take the next step. Just come forward, and we're just going to pray. Please. We're just going to pray. Dear Father. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to pray a prayer, and I'd like for you to repeat after me. It's just a simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, and I ask you to help me in the choices that I make, that I choose your way, and I choose to walk in your ways. I choose to deny myself in order that I might please you, and in order that I might serve the purposes for which you've called me. Amen. Thank you.